List number two. This morning we're going to talk about care for you. How much God really cares for you. Do you have any idea at all? I think we think we do. I think our thinking is just a drop in the bucket to what God really cares for us, what He really feels toward us, what we really understand and comprehend of His feeling toward us. Well, today I want to open your minds, your eyes, hopefully see a little deeper into how God feels for you and I, how He cares for you and I, how much He wants to be involved in our lives. He called us to be in relationship with Him on a daily basis, not just Sunday mornings, but every morning and every afternoon. When we walk and when we stroll and when we sit and when we lay and when we eat and when we rise from eating, when we go to work and when we come back from work, while we're at work, wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, He wants to be in constant relationship with us, constant communion with us. He wants to be involved in every part of your life that you will allow Him to be involved in. And what I'm finding out is the more I involve Him in my life, the better it gets. The more I allow Him to infiltrate my body, my person, the better decisions I make, the better habits I have, the better choices I make, the better my life is. The more free I feel, the more peace I experience, the more love I show to those around me. Amen? Anyone else experience that? Am I the only one? A couple of you? We're going to look at a verse in Luke chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. It describes sparrows as almost worthless. That God says they're not worthless to me. I count everyone that falls. I know where everyone's going. I know where it's nesting. I know what it's eating, what its needs are. But I take care of that sparrow. How much more precious are you and I to God than a sparrow? For some of us, we look at ourselves and, at least for me, maybe I'm the only one, I say there's no way I'm that special. God knows what I've done. God knows where I'm at. God says, no, my word says you are far more precious. So get the negative thoughts out of your head, get the lies out of your head, and bring in my truth, my word into you. You are far more precious than sparrows. And I care for their every need on a daily basis. I know they're going out and they're coming back. I know when they need food and when they need shelter and when they need water and when they need a bath. That's why He makes rain puddles so birds can take a bath. How much more precious are you and I than that? This fall I was hunting. Imagine that, right? I had some time to actually hunt on my own, which for me is my getaway time when I like to go sit on a mountain and seek God. Say, God, what are you revealing to me today? God, what's new and fresh in my life today? I was out muzzleloader elk hunting, which is the first time I had done it, so I didn't expect to do very good. I was sitting out on the mountain and finally spotted these elk and got around within a couple miles of them. I'm looking across 4 big ridges and canyons going, I don't know if I really want to pack one out of there. It's getting 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was quite a ways over and I was sitting on this rock debating, you know, do I want to go over there? I finally decided, you know what, I'm just going to sit here and spend time with God and we'll see what happens because I don't really need to shoot an elk anyway. So I'm sitting there on the rock and I'm hanging out enjoying life, looking at God's beautiful creation, talking with Him. And I see something running up the ridge way over there. I'm like, what's that? So I get my binoculars and I look and it's like, oh, there's more elk. And pretty soon here comes a whole herd of elk around the hill and they gather up the elk I've been looking at and they start coming my way. I was like, oh, well, now I have to get into action because they're coming this way. I'm thinking, where should I go? Because I'm on a pretty open hillside. There's like two pine trees and a few big rocks. Like, okay, when they all disappear in one of these draws, I need to find cover somewhere. And as I was sitting there, and they came around the last ridge, going into the last draw, the next ridge they come upon is the one I'm on. And above me, there was a pretty good saddle that was a pretty natural crossing for them. And below me was a pretty good saddle. It was a pretty good crossing for them. I sat there and thought, which way do I go? I said, you know what? I'm just going to sit right here. I had got behind a big rock. And pretty soon here they come, single file around the hill, about 100 yards below me. And this rock was huge. It was like the size of a truck, and it sloped up like this, and the mountainside was like this. So I was on the rock looking down like this, had my gun rested on it. I was like, how cool is this? Because they're coming toward my truck. That doesn't happen in elk hunting. So I'm laying there, I cocked the muzzle loader, I set the trigger, waiting for the right one to come along, and boom, everything goes to smoke. You know how muzzle loaders are. So I get my elk, and I was sitting there watching all the elk. There's 40, 50 head there, watching them run all over the mountainside. I was just, thank you, God. And what he showed me was, I can move mountains. Do you think I can't move the critters on the mountains? You think that's fine. But for me, I never pray and say, God, send me the 30-point buck. I never pray and say, God, help me kill a bull today. To me, that's petty. In my mind, God has way more important things to deal with than whether or not I shoot the 30-point buck. But God was showing me, if you'll ask, I will put it in your lap. I'll put it right where you need it when you need it. And I'll drag those elk from 2 miles away right back to your truck if you'll let me. If you'll sit still and know that I am God. Because usually my idea of hunting is you just hit the ground running. You don't stop till you have an opportunity. For me to go sit on a hillside and sit still is not real common. I'm usually on the move the whole time. But God really taught me a lot that week. Just be still and know that I am God. Let me show you my endless possibilities that I am willing to do for you. The doors I'm willing to open up for you that I may receive the glory. What in your life do you look at and say, you know, I don't really need to ask God. I can do that myself. Because when we do that, we put a limit on it. The limit is you, yourself, myself. When we say, I don't need God, I don't need His help. I pray when I go hunting. I say, God, protect me, keep me safe. But when we put a limit on it, it's because we've excluded God from it. God has limitless love toward us, limitless care of us, if we will allow Him into our lives, if we will allow Him to take control of the wheel, instead of saying, no, I got this. Just let go, I got it. So this past week, I had a lion hunter. We're out scouring the mountains for lions, and it was horrible lion hunting conditions. There was not much snow, and the snow that was there was froze hard, which they didn't leave a print in. So we were hiking hard, 5 days of grueling hiking, and I'm not in very good shape right now, so it was hurting bad. I'd go home soaking a bath every night. And my wife says, well, have you prayed about it? Spirit of the Lord talking to me again. And I used my general phrase, no, I don't usually pray about this kind of stuff. It's petty. It's dumb. She goes, really? Is that what you tell all the congregation? Oh, your cold doesn't matter. Don't pray to God about that. So I got a pretty good kick in the butt this last week from God. He said, I want to be involved in every part of your life. And I care about, yes, even your hangnail or your cold, or whether or not you get a lion for your guest, or put yourself in. What's your issue? What's your situation that you think is too small for God to handle, or too small to abide his time in it? Because it's not. God cares about every moment of your life, and mine too. So I'm learning and growing through this myself as well, inviting God into more places in my life. Saying, all right, God, come along on the lion hunt. What can you do tomorrow? So that night, he sends 2 inches of fresh snow. But only at the ranch where I work. Because we woke up and said, oh, look at the fresh snow. This is great. We'll go to the mountains where we generally hunt mountain lions, and we'll go get one. We drive to the mountains, and it had not snowed. It's like, well, we have our guest out in the field now. We're an hour and a half from the lodge, and we're supposed to be lion hunting. So we went ahead and did a couple hikes. Didn't find anything because the snow, once again, was froze hard, and there was not much of it. I said, you know what? Why don't we go back to the lodge and look there? So a half mile behind our lodge, there was a lion track in the snow. Ask and you shall receive. I'm a bonehead sometimes. I got to hand it to you. I think it's the German in me. I don't know. Amen. But if you don't ask, it doesn't show up. If you never ask, you can't receive what you have not asked for. What are you not asking for in your life? Because not asking for it is putting a limit on it. You and I are limited in what we can do. God is not. If we invite him into our lives, say, God, come with me. God, will you show me? God, will you help me? God, will you direct me? The Word of God says that every day we have before us, he already knows. He knows the plans for our life. He knew the day you would be born, and he knows the day you will leave. To think anything other than that is to put a limit on it. To say, God, you can't be in control of that much. But God is in control, and he knows our beginning from our end. He starts at our end and walks backwards. He knows every day that I'll live out on this earth. To not accept everything as if from God is to limit ourselves and say, God, where were you in this? God, why didn't you show up for me? But when you get to the end of that hike, you turn around and look and go, there's only one set of tracks. Clearly God was not there. Where we get the footprints poem. God says, no, I carried you. I packed you. You couldn't help yourself. You were limited, but I'm limitless. There is no end in me. I am limitless. If we begin living and exercising that in our lives, where will it take us? Where can it lead us? As I looked over several passages of Scripture, several stories in the Bible, I looked at some great men like Moses and Elijah. I looked at some of their situations and circumstances. God, of course, we know the whole story of Moses. If you don't, you can find it in the book of Exodus, most of it anyway. Moses is called to bring the Israelites out of Egypt, and he's doing that, and they're operating. Woohoo, we made it, we're out. But now we're along this big Red Sea. Pretty soon Pharaoh's army comes after them, and they look, and most of them hit the limit. Why did you bring us out here to be slaughtered? They were looking at their situation, and their situation had a limit. If they would have looked at their God who had just led them across the desert and who had just performed 10 plagues on the people of Egypt, but they didn't see the limitless situations that just took place. They looked at the limit. There's water, open water, a big sea before us. We're trapped. An army and a sea. We're trapped. They put a limit on their situation and circumstance because they looked at what they could do. God, of course, talks to Moses to stretch out your staff over the waters and I will open it. And God could have just made it ankle deep water or knee deep water and they could have crossed. But the Word of God says, and they crossed on dry land. God could have did the bare minimum, said, here's a boat, float across. Mind you, a million people crossed through on dry land, not just four or five. It says there were walls of water on their left and on their right. That's not a fairy tale. That's a factual scripture in the Bible full of truth and the limitlessness of how much God cares for you. I will separate the waters and you will walk on dry land. Which would have been pretty awesome, but they get across and it doesn't take very long and they're grumbling and complaining already again. They put another limit on themselves. Oh God, I'm hungry. God, my stomach hurts. Moses is trying to kill us out here, starve us to death. I want some quail. God again sends in droves of quail day after day after day. He sends the fresh manna day after day after day. The limitless care of God is coming to them. Very physical, meeting their very physical need, and yet they still turn their blinders on and say, it's not enough. And then they want water, and God says, Moses, strike the rock. You know, he could have picked actually salty water and made it clear, clean water, but he says, hit the rock. Who here has ever drank water from a rock? Anyone? I've drank water off a rock. But again, God's trying to tell them, and I believe because they were so stubborn and stiff-necked, we probably are as well. So I really want you to understand that God cares for you in the deepest measure. Moses strikes the rock, the water comes forth. Why? Because Moses was obedient to God. Sometime later, God says, Moses, speak to this rock. Tell it to open up and flow water. And Moses, in his anger, grabs his stick and whacks it. He says, this is how I did it before. It's probably his attitude. I'll do it again. Rah! God says, because you've been disobedient to me, the promises I made to you, the plans I had for you, are no longer yours to attain. You will not lead these people into the promised land. You will stay on this side of the river. Because he was disobedient. And most of our culture today would say, well, that wasn't that big a deal. I mean, what's the difference? He got water. God wants your undivided obedience. I don't care how I asked you to do it last time. I want you to do it like I told you to do it this time. And the only way we can come to that grip is when we hit the end of our rope. We're at our limit. We have two choices to make when we hit our limit. We can freak out and say it's a disaster, it's not going to work. Or we can say, God, I've given all I have to give. I'm at the end of my rope. I have nothing left. So God, I'm calling on you and your limitless care for me. Will you come and fill me up? Will you come and pick me up? What situation are you dealing with in your life right now? God, I need you. I don't need a friend. I don't need a buddy. I need you. Because you know what? All your friends, all your buddies are as limited as you and I are. And it's nice to have someone come along inside you once in a while. But when you hit the end of your road, the end of your rope, when you're at your limit, most everyone else is going to be at their limit that's going to help you. So that means you're all limited. But when we draw from the source, we draw from God, and we're limitless in His power, in His might, in His blessing. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to help you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Those are the plans God has for you, if you will involve Him in your plans. And you only receive from Him as you give of yourself to Him. We remember the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He comes by invitation only. You invite Him into your life. You invite Him and give Him more power and more control in your life. You will see God's limitless power and love flow from you to those around you. But only by abiding in Him, only by giving of yourself to Him, saying, "God, I need you. I've hit the end of my road. I've hit my limit. Elijah, from 1 Kings chapter 17, you can find that story. Elijah just tells King Ahab, "I'm asking God to not let it rain unless I say so." Who wants to go and tell our president that? Who wants to deliver that message? "There will be famine in America until I tell God to release it." Anyone? You might be shot or hung or imprisoned or whatever. Elijah delivers this message, and of course, now everybody wants to kill him because he just shut off the water supply to the country. God says, "Go hide in the ravine. I'm going to send some ravens to bring you bread and meat. There's a brook there to drink the water. I'm going to take care of you and meet your every need." In our culture today, we think an i5 phone is a necessity, or whatever is better than that. Do you have one? I know. I know Bear Claw has 3 or 4. He's always like, "Doo, doo, doo. Hold on, iPad." We think so much in our lives is a necessity, and I can't live without it. God sends Elijah away with what he has on. It says, "I'm going to take care of you. I will provide everything else." Sometimes we have to get away, and this is why I love going to the woods, because my phone doesn't ring. There's no emails. There's no text messages. When God says the lights go down, He pulls the sunshine behind the mountain. When God says the light come on, He put it back up. Sometimes we have to get away from all of our modern conveniences, all of what we clarify as necessity, and just be stripped of everything, crawl into a ditch where we can't see out, and get alone with God. Say, "What would you have me do now?" Because in obedience, Elijah went to the ditch. I like to think of it as a ditch. It was a ravine. In obedience, he went, and God brought him food and supplied the water until the drought dried it up, and then God gave him another order: "Go to Zarephath. Find the widow who I have commanded to take care of you." Once again, all he has is what he has on, but God's going to supply the rest. He goes to the widow, says, "Could you bring me a cup of water by chance? And by the way, could you bake me a loaf of bread?" She says, "Well, actually, I have just enough meal and oil left for one loaf, and my son and I were actually going to eat it because it's our last meal, and then we're just going to die." They were at the end of their limit. They looked in this jar and said, "Empty." They looked in this jar and said, empty. They looked at their resources and said, none. But in obedience to God, she baked the meal, made the loaf, took it to Elijah. He says, by the word of the Lord, until rain hits the land again, your oil will not run dry. Your flour will not run out. An endless supply. She'd take two cups out today. Tomorrow, those two cups would be back in. Whatever she needed for that day, God supplied her every need. So recalibrate your life. Get to the end of your road and say, God, I am limited in what I can do. I'm at the end of my parenting. I'm at the end of my marital relationship. I don't know what to do. I'm at the end of my work-employment relationship. Say, God, I've done all I can do. I've given all I can give. I've shown your light as bright as I can shine it myself. I need you, God, to shine brighter. I need you, God, to be a better husband or wife. I need you, God, to be a better parent to my children. I need you, God, to be a better child and honor my parents in obedience. I need you, God, to be a better supporter of my senior pastor. I need you, God, to better support the churches in the surrounding area. I need you, God, to better support the Gideons in the area. I need you, God, to be a better supporter of your kingdom and to let your light shine brighter in me. Because that's what we are called to do. We are called Christians because Christians are Christ-like, shining forth the glory of God. That's what we are called to do. Amen? Amen. You guys want to pray? Yes. All right. I like to pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Father, that you care for us so much, God, that you would give your one and only Son. God, that we may have salvation through him. God, that we may live through his righteousness. God, we thank you for the privilege and honor to be called your sons and daughters. God, to bring you glory in our lives, God, we ask that you would show us each and every day, God, how we can better invite you into our lives. God, that we can be better sons and daughters of Lord God Almighty. Father, we thank you for this, God. We ask that you would grow and develop these seeds that have been planted into our lives, God. Father, that we would go forth bearing much fruit in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, bringing you glory and honor. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.